Welcome to Adventures in Grace. This is Jim Hockaday. Well, we're going to have another video that I believe you'll enjoy. We're going to start a little series, probably just maybe two or three, possibly four videos attached to Casting Your Cares Upon the Lord. All these videos are helping us to have the right mindset, to see things more accurately so that our prayers will be answered, the tangibility of God will increase, and of course, we can get out of the way and begin to experience the influence of God in our life, which is experiencing grace. You know, it's one thing to know the doctrine of God's grace, and many preach the doctrine of the Lord's grace. What we're endeavoring to do is give you some nuts and bolts that allow you to experience the grace of God, the influence of the Spirit of God upon your lives. In fact, we've got one nice story right here we'll start out with before we even get into all the scriptures that we normally give you at the very beginning of the show. And this is coming from a woman by the name of Julie Ann. And we're just so thankful that you would send in this testimony. And I want to encourage you right off the bat, go to jimhockaday.com and find JHMI at jimhockaday.com email and give us your stories. Now, this first one that she has is what you would call more of a coincidence. But it's not a coincidence when your heart is open and your mind is open to finding the grace of God. Come on, that's what all the series really that we're in right now is, finding grace. Well, there's some things that hinder you to find grace, and there's other things that help you to find it. Well, I like this story. She said here, I just finished your Finding Grace 1, and you read the grace story from Amy. Wow. And that was about where the Lord was showing Miss Amy, who had a testimony, about the whole idea of fasting and prayer, and how that when she's praying in other tongues, she's really fasting her mind's involvement, because as the scriptures tell us there in 1 Corinthians 14, that our mind is unfruitful. Well, while the mind is unfruitful, in a sense, you're fasting the mind going toward the flesh while your spirit is connecting to the Father. I thought that was very good, and I enjoyed her testimony, and of course, Julie did as well. And she went on to say, I always watch your shows while on the treadmill and invite the guys to join me. The guys meaning, if you haven't been with us, that just means God, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Good times, she said. I have been struggling lately with renewing my mind on a few areas and also in some areas of health as well. I was just telling the Father that I'm willing, but really need his help. Lo and behold, what was the show on? Holy moly. Well, it wasn't on holy moly. It was on repenting, or in other words, changing the mind, changing the direction, the humility that's in the heart, the desire to open up and open your mind to the wonderful work of the Holy Spirit. And she said, I watched and then spent the rest of the time praying in the Spirit, fasting my thoughts. Oh, how good he is to me. Now, when someone hears that, they would say, well, that's not the testimony of the cancer disappearing. But we have a testimony of the cancer disappearing. We have a testimony of the finger that was broken being healed right on the spot within seconds. It was just completely made whole. We've got wonderful stories, even just recently, of bone on bone, ankle that could not flex. And if you're going upstairs, had to go sideways. And running up and down the stairs, running around the room, just a delighted face, realizing God just set those bones free and put cushion back in there and made it available for her to walk and enjoy her life. Amen. So we've got all kinds of wonderful stories of the healing mercies of Jesus. I love how simple that story is, because if you're wondering, can I ever really experience the grace of God? And I would really like to send in a testimony. Well, it doesn't have to be the testimony that climbs Mount Everest. It can be the simplistic little things that are in people's lives every single day that we discount and discredit. Think for a moment that if the little foxes spoil the vine, that's in Song of Solomon 2:15, then these little experiences, acknowledgments of the Lord's involvement in my life would build the tangibility to where you're not afraid of anything because God is with you and God is in you. Now, I know we can preach God is with you and God is in you, but until it becomes a reality in your life and you begin to experience what it's like for Him to be in you and with you, you very rarely then have the characteristic of the boldness that accompanies those who do. So this is good, good information. Hey, let's jump right back into Matthew 11, 27 to 30 in the Message Bible that so simply says, "And Jesus resumed talking to the people, but now tenderly. The Father has given me all these things to do and say." This is a unique Father and Son operation coming out of Father and Son intimacies and knowledge. "No one knows the Son the way the Father does, nor the Father the way the Son does. But I'm not keeping it to myself. I'm ready to go over it line by line with anyone willing to listen. Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. I won't lay anything heavy or ill-fitting upon you. Keep company with me, and you'll learn how to live freely and lightly." Again, I've never quoted that in all these times where I haven't been amazed at what I'm actually speaking out of my mouth, that the Lord Jesus desires with all his heart that we would experience the Father in the exact same way that he experienced the Father while he was on the earth. And I'm telling you, we would be happy if we had a tenth of the relationship that Jesus had with the Father and a tenth of the experiences that Jesus had because he knew the Father. Let alone that the whole relationship with Jesus and the Father is duplicated in us through Christ living in us. Glory to God. We can experience everything Jesus did. We hear the Father. We know the Father. We follow the voice of our shepherd exactly like Jesus did the Father. So this is a great and wonderful invitation. Well, we're jumping over into casting your care upon the Lord. We're gonna start here in 1 Peter 5, 5 through 9. Let me read this here. This is so, so very good. It says, "God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble." Well, that almost seems like last week, as we were talking about these things last week and sharing how important it is that we have an open heart and an open mind to the grace of God. God needs you to have that openness. Well, in that openness is the willingness to actually be wrong. Because a humble heart isn't trying to exalt itself. A humble heart is very thrilled just to be in the game. Are you with me? Instead of trying to have the best stats that anybody has ever had on the face of the earth and trying to be the best preacher anyone's ever preached on the face of the earth and instead of trying to be the best you know, that there ever has been. I know that seems to grade some people because you think that trying to be the best, all I'm talking about is a spirit of competition, which will take you out of the humility of enjoying the ride or the journey while you're on it instead of being so determined to be better than somebody. You know, when you're in the kingdom of God, it's not about who's better than the other. I mean, Jesus even made that comment, you know, when James, John, you know, that their mother was trying to get them in the best seats, you know, of the house, James and Thomas, I think it was. And you know, Jesus said, well, that's not, you know, for me to give. In other words, he's trying to say, we all just serve one another. That's what Jesus came showing us. It's the servanthood of the heart, which is to be honored and praised. And there's not many people that'll actually do that. People love being served, but they don't love serving. That's true. Verse 6 says, "Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion." Well, these are some interesting thoughts. We need to go ahead and just open our heart to this wonderful truth. God is not humbling you. You know, we've got that wrong in religion for so long. We say, well, I'm going through this because God's humbling. No, you don't have to go through that. You don't have to go through the fire. And if you go through the fire, you won't actually have fire on you. You won't even have the smell, the smoke on you. Come on, that's the kind of thing that happens when the grace of God is working with you. You'll go through the fire and you'll be happier and more content than you ever were before without God's grace on you. It's amazing what happens when God is with you and His grace is influencing you. Half the time, you don't even realize you're going through the fire because you're just enjoying the presence of Jesus, and that's which gives you strength. Well, let's just come on. Let's just look a little bit further here. It says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Well, there's some things for us to learn about casting our cares in the Lord so that he can't devour you. Now, care just simply means distraction, anxiety, and concern. Well, I just described three things that pretty well describe most of us in some settings. You know, would be that in every area of your life, there were no distractions, there was no anxiety, and you had absolutely no concern. Do you realize the peace that you would have if it were true? That you literally had no distractions, no anxiety, and no concern. You know, have you ever been on a vacation, and let's just say you've been someplace that was really tranquil, and you were sitting there, and momentarily, in that moment, you said how beautiful this is, and for those moments right then, there was no drama around you. You weren't thinking of anything about work or about, you know, the bills or about what was due you or about your responsibilities. In that moment, it was absolutely perfectly okay for you to be relaxing, sitting there, and the tranquility of the environment where God's nature was speaking to you, your heart was just for a moment at rest. Of course, you know, somebody then comes up behind you and then, you know, taps you on the shoulder and then tells you their drama and tries to pull you right back out of that wonderful place of peace right into the world's distractions, anxieties, and concern. Well, you know exactly what I'm thinking, you know. Even when you go to a theme park and you want to just have a great time, you have to fight against everybody else that's in the park and the mentalities of people and the way people think, and you try just to not even think about it or listen, you know, but you end up before the day's over being definitely swamped with all kinds of opportunities that you had to give up that could have pulled you right back into the flesh and into the world. Well, the Amplified, I love this about humbling yourself. In verse 6, it says, therefore, humble yourselves, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God. Can we talk about that for just a second? Humble yourselves. And in brackets, it says, demote, lower yourselves in your own estimation. Well, you know, Paul told us in these last days that we would experience a rise in the attitude of self in the earth. I mean, we've got these selfies now. People take it. So I remember I took a selfie once, you know, and sent it to my daughter who was in college. And she literally sent back all these faces that I just had to look really, really small. You know, these little faces, try to figure out even what they were. But I think she was laughing at me. And then she said a whole bunch of ha, ha, ha. And then she said, Dad, please, don't ever take another selfie another day of your life. And, you know, I think I've taken one, you know, maybe since then. But, you know, people are just overwhelmed with themselves. I mean, you get people that are on their phones and they're just fixing their hair and taking selfie after selfie of themselves. And it's just like, you know, how are you doing? How's that humility doing? You know, where's the grace of God in your life? I mean, you're very, very much overtaken with yourself. And notice what this says, humbling yourself, and you got to actually do it yourself. God's not humbling you, you humble yourself. It says demote or lower yourself in your own estimation. In other words, don't think so highly of yourself. Why would you? You know, somebody made a comment to me just this week and sent me a text, and I appreciated it so much because they're just such sincere and wonderful people. And they made some comments, you know, about, you know, following our ministry and, of course, the power of God that is in demonstration as we minister and speak and as we live our lives. Thank God. And we're growing in that all the time. But they said, you know, as I just thought about your life, I want to also follow your humility. Well, I wrote them back, and I guess I could pull it up and write you what I wrote them, but the basis of it, or the gist of it was, I guess I've always been a little bit more hard on myself. And being in a healing ministry and seeing some people that aren't helped always reminds me that maybe I'm not doing as well as I'd like to think. And then because I've been maybe a little bit hard on myself, a little bit more perfectionistic with myself, I find myself always desiring to be able to improve and do better. Do better at remembering something, even when my wife Erin tells me something, and do better at being a better dad to my kids, and do better in the ministry, and be more sharp concerning my own life and how I live my life, that everything about it is allowing God to influence me. In other words, I guess you could say it like this. I guess I've screwed up enough in life that I don't take myself as seriously as some and realize, hello, it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. You know, the old little song. And I find myself saying, Lord, I need your help a lot. You know, some folks that really have their act together, and I wouldn't be one that actually would say that, but those that have it together so well and are perfectionists and just are so disciplined, you know, they have a difficulty with this as well. It's just in another arena. In other words, their lives, they're very proud of their lives, and they're very proud of the fact that they don't have much difficulties going on. And so the very fact that they think that they're all together is that they don't necessarily need to reach out and have the grace of God help them. And then they miss the grace of God through that kind of pride. So either way, folks, living in a place where you lower your own esteem to the place where you don't have to take yourself that seriously. And why would you want to? Why not just let Jesus be so real to you that you can experience him at all times? Our time is literally getting away from us, but I'm going to finish this scripture before we go. It says, demote lower yourselves in your own estimation under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may exalt you, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all. And I'm smiling because of the word all on every single one of them. It would be awesome. We'd all fit if we could say some of your anxieties, some of your worries, and some of your concerns every once in a while. But it said all your anxieties, all your worries, all your concerns, once and for all on him. And I'm going to stop right there. Oh, this is going to be a good series right here, a good series of videos, maybe three, maybe four, where we talk about casting your care upon the Lord. Wow, if you got cares in your life, it can be the premier thought on your mind all day long, and God would actually like to have some of your time. Well, go to the YouTube channel, Adventures in Grace, and subscribe and like us and tell other people about it. We've got about 250 people that watch us consistently. It should be 2,500 or 25,000. These things, folks, are working in people's lives, and it's the simplicity of letting God become real in your life. Share it with others. Go to Jim Hockaday Ministry Facebook page and follow us, and definitely get the email, jhmi@jimhockaday.com, from our website, which is jimhockaday.com, and send us your grace stories. Can't wait to share the next one that we have with you. See you next time.